May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 690. On wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, his wonders see, his sermons hear, and think him nothing worth. Hymn 690.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God, let us read in the Book of Psalms, read Psalm 34 and Psalm 42. In the Book of Psalms, Psalm 34 and Psalm 42. Firstly, Psalm 34. A psalm of David when he changed his behaviour before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 42. To the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth, margin brayeth, after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let us pray. Most holy and most blessed God, we would draw near now unto thy great and glorious majesty. Thou art God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one almighty God of love. We would plead the reconciling grace that is in thy beloved Son, even Jesus. And therefore, in drawing near to thy glorious majesty, we would plead thy all-prevailing name, Emmanuel, the only name which God has covenanted he will hear us upon. The only name he's pleased to hear poor sinners plead. We believe that truth, Lord. Therefore we must come in our ruin, complete ruin, absolute ruin. Something we have to face again and again as we know the workings of evil within our breast. As we realize our frailty, immortality, as sin takes its effect upon us more and more to bring us down to the grave. As we live in a sin-cursed world of strife and confusion, oh, we do realize more and more our great need, our need of thee and all that's in thee for sinners. And we plead those exceeding great and precious promises that indeed spring forth from thy holy, glorious sacrifice. Oh, for thou hast made an atonement for all the sins of the people. And we pray to be among that exercised people who truly fear thy name. That people we have read of in the two Psalms that call upon thee, that thirst after thee, that long for thy blessing and for thy appearing. Oh, do save us from the deceitfulness of sin and the deceitfulness of a world full of pleasure and leisure and every promise but poison in it all. Give us to realise more and more, oh, that thou art that real, blessed, solid friend of publicans and sinners, the only one who can satisfy our soul, the only one, Lord, who can do us good. So we bless thee for the gospel and for the great provision of the throne of grace and for thee who art the gift of all gifts. Oh, God's unspeakable gift, sitting there at the right hand of God. Oh, may we really draw near by faith. Yes, and having so often as we draw near to fill our mouth with arguments and to say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And to say, thou art the Christ, or the only one who can come where I am, the only one who can deliver my soul, the only one who can prepare me, oh, for such a place as heaven to be with God. Oh, we come in all our pollution, all our weakness. Bless us now. Oh, could there be some sweet truth dropping down from heaven above? Oh, may it be thy doctrine that shall drop us the rain and thy speech that shall distill us the dew. Oh, may the gospel drop down from above and that the skies are poured down righteousness, that our poor souls might live, that our barren souls might be watered and revived, or that we might know a little softening of our hard hearts and a hope raised up amidst many fears and temptations and a sense of a distance from God. So many conflicts, Lord, thy people meet with, and we're so weak, we're completely flawed, but may we fight the good fight of faith to lay hold upon that eternal life as we journey on. Lord, we don't know the details of our future, how many days we have. Lord, we don't know how many times has allotted this poor minister to come here to this building to preach to sinners here, and no one here knows their allotted time and how many more times they will gather. But one thing is truly clear to us, that we must pass away, and we do thank thee that we have been spared to meet again. Indeed, it is once again, and it's one more in our little life. But Lord, it is one less, once less, in that allotted, appointed time for us each. Lord, remember us. Oh, visit us. Grant something solid. Grant a token. Let us know the deeds of thy people. Could there be doctrine dropping down to graciously feed the poor, oh Lord, that there may be that sweet truth of thy love and mercy, and the setting forth of thy glorious person, and the declaring in faithfulness of our true state before God, and the divine declarations under the influence of the Holy Ghost that thou art love. Thou art gracious. Thy name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we need the healing virtue, Lord, and we need thee to bring thy word to suit our poor cases. Oh, there's every medicine, every strength, every balm, every love with thee for poor, helpless sinners, Lord. Oh, do us good here today, we pray. Oh, may Christ be glorified in everything here today and be exalted in our hearts. We may know amidst of much temptation here below, and in some cases there may be much gloom, yet, Lord, that indeed there may be a real spirit of worship given, that we poor sinners may indeed be of good cheer, because thou hast overcome the world. quicken those that are dead in trespasses and in sins. We realise perhaps, Lord, such prayers are not fashionable or very acceptable in this modern age, even sad in our own churches, Lord, but oh, there are those dead in trespasses and sins among us. They really are. There are those, Lord, who have a form and who are happy to embrace doctrines of grace, and yet, oh, they have no realization of that personal need of washing. But there are those who truly tremble at thy word. There are those who truly feel their need of thee to visit them. And as those who are crying, "Son to my soul, I am thy salvation." Those who feel their sins are so great they can't be forgiven. Yet do bless them. And do pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel. And show them thy wounds. Oh, thy wounded side, thy wounded hands. Yes, still gaping wide in efficacy and love. And every grace flowing down from one who fills his Father's throne. Oh, bless sinners. Oh, they're nice, those who exercise, wondering what to do, which way to turn. Lord, may there be divine instruction. We do need those constant supplies of grace. May we all lay to heart, every one of us. Lord, the minister and each who have gathered for worship, a time with us all is so very, very short. Lord, we must all pass away shortly. We're fading as leaves. And Lord, we do pray that we may be much exercised and concerned about it, to lay up prayers and to press toward the. The trouble is we get so wounded and we seem to, as it were, limp along. Often frightened by the enemy, that great liar who's stronger than myself and each one of us, who tries to turn us back. But may we press on, believing in our heart, thou art the Blessed One. Therefore may our trust be in thee, and may we believe in thee while we're in darkness maybe and under temptation, and those among us who know distress, help them still to believe in thee. Let not your heart be troubled, dear, merciful, kind, tender High Priest. Does know the troubles of thy people, their soul troubles, their temptations, their tribulations, their afflictions, and the assaults of the enemy, and the pits and dark ditches that we get ourselves into by our own folly. Lord, we come into some sad places at times, but may we still be helped to believe that thou art the Christ, and only thou canst do us poor, helpless sinners good. Only thou canst satisfy us with thy love and mercy, as the psalmist desired. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. How he knew those broken bones, but how he desired that the bones without broken may rejoice. Ah, Lord, it's better to be broken than carnally secure. But broken people need healing. They need the Lord's blessing. Before we close, we thank thee, Lord, for so many mercies, Lord. Oh, our cup runs over. So good to us. So long-suffering. So patient with us, Lord. Ah, if it was not that thou wast God, we'd have been consumed. But Lord, thou art not as man, thou art God. Though pure and holy and sin-hating, yet one who delights in mercy. And we believe we can raise an Ebenezer and truly say, to thy glory, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And we pray that we may indeed come in with the poet by faith, and I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. We thank thee for the seasons, the harvest, and all the mercies that surround us in this land, in spite of all the wickedness and abominations. We live to prove thy faithfulness in the cycles of the year, Lord, and it truly reminds us of thy everlasting covenant. Well, we must look to thee for help now. Bless this people, bind them together, let thy work appear. Bless office bearers, give them wisdom, understanding, godly fear. Give them a single eye to thy glory. Oh, may the brethren uphold their hands in prayer. Oh, may there be that one mind in the Lord among this people. In what think ye of Christ? Grant that the Christ may have the preeminence in the ministry and in their own deliberations and purposes together, that in all things may be of one mind in the Lord, that Christ might be glorified in all things, adult and such as shall be saved. Bless dear little ones in arms. We pray affectionately for them, the dear children, our Lord, and those in school days, in difficult times, and do help parents in the training of families. Bless the youth and the young adults here. Be gracious to them. Make them wise unto salvation, we pray. Any with child among us, be gracious and bring safely through and grant healthy children according to thy goodwill. Remember those infirmed and afflicted, those who are sick among us and have been strengthened to come out. We pray for thy healing mercy. Those infirmed in weakness of age not able to come, we would remember them at the throne of grace. Show them thy salvation. Show them thy covenant. But now we must ask for help. Bless the dear flock and friends at home. Grant us thy spirit there. Bless thy dear servant there this day. Bless each precious soul that worships. When we pray for Zion, Lord, we're praying for those that us love. But we must pray for them. Want to be among them. Number with them may I be now throughout that glorious eternity. We pray in real gospel hope and a sure understanding that Zion will never be forgotten. The twos and threes, the persecuted, those separated, those being tortured, those afflicted, those drawing near to their journey's end. And thy people here and thy people at home and up and down the land and throughout the world, O Israel, shall not be forgotten of thee. Oh, for thou dost dwell among thy people. So we pray for the peace and prosperity of the Church of God in this modern global age when Antichrist reigns in the earth and particularly, sadly, in this land. God, be merciful still to thy dear people. May each be given grace to endure. If persecutions come upon us, we realise what grace we shall need. We won't be able to stand in our own strength. And therefore we pray that we may be well armed and that we may truly be given that grace to endure. So we pray for more grace. Thou yet pour out thy spirit once again upon all flesh and revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known in wrath, remember mercy. So bless us now, loose poor stammerer's tongue and grant that help of the Holy Ghost. And that the poor and needy here may feed. There may be that watering of souls. Or we plead the pardon of our many, many mighty sins. Or we plead for that healing balm. We plead thy glorious all-prevailing name for every blessing we need for time and for eternity. Oh, we plead. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1071. Happy soul that free from harms rests within his shepherd's arms. Who his quiet shall molest? Who shall violate his rest? Hymn 1071.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to Psalm 34 and to the sixth verse. Psalm 34 and to verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I left home with a different verse on my mind, a word in the Gospels, but this has come to the fore, and the other has receded, dissipated altogether. I can truly say of this word that everyone who goes in to see Emmanuel face to face, and as they gaze upon Jesus, they will gaze upon God, will walk in this world, in this verse. We could say that of many verses in Scripture. Some verses pertain perhaps only to particular afflictions or particular troubles, or to particular people. But this is a verse that every child of God will know by experience to be a most blessed truth. Truth, of course, is very painful. Truth often hurts me, distresses me greatly. But, dear friends, truth is the Lord Jesus himself, absolute truth, everlasting truth. And herein is everlasting consolation, satisfaction, perfect peace. Every believer who walks the way of the psalmist and in this verse will one day awake in his likeness. But, of course, you and I have a nature that we don't really like being poor. And herein lies conflict and confusion and much temptation and distress. You see, dear friends, man, indeed, that's me and that's you, are exceedingly proud and imperious and self-sufficient and worldly, thoroughly worldly, and lustful and unbelieving and rebellious. But God, in the riches of his grace, does bring men down to his blessed feet. And they indeed truly know that poverty of spirit, to realize they have nothing that they can call good apart from that that is ministered by the Shepherd of Israel. Now, what a mercy it is here this morning. You know, if some of you can trace out the Lord's mercies. There was a day when you weren't poor. You were seeking dying things, and your affection was set on the earth and the prosperous future, which no doubt we all imagine to be our lot in our youth, or wish for it. But grace has brought about a change. The Lord said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And grace will bring us to realise how poverty-stricken we really are, of all virtue and solid substance and holiness and goodness. But that blessed grace will indeed minister life. Yes, life everlasting. Things that are substantial. Things indeed that you will carry into heaven with you. A good hope through grace, you see, is carried into sweet possession, isn't it? And precious faith, my dear friends, which is maintained by Jesus Christ, the captain of your salvation, will indeed be that blessed instrument to enable you to fight on and to enter in and see him, see him. Now, these are the solid things he gives, and you know he makes pardoning love known. And you know that pardoning love is never lost. You may lose the comfort, but you who are pardoned will never fall out of that blessed state whereby you are justified by grace, and that pardon is never rescinded. And if you know a little of that pardon by love, you'll go in and enter into the ocean fullness of that love. But you see, we are being prepared for such a place that we are so unworthy to go to. And of course, the ministry of the Spirit, my friends, deals with us in such a way, that blessed Holy Ghost, that we don't just say these things to quieten conscience or because it's the right thing to say. We say these things because we really are poor. And our poverty pinches us again and again in our lives. So we can safely say, because the Holy Ghost instructed David to pen this psalm, that what he said here was absolutely true of him. He really felt it. He was being transparently honest about himself, under a sacred sense of the mercy of God. He was in trouble, yes. Great trouble. He was being hunted by Saul. His life was in danger. Oh, he was being pursued unto death by an inveterate enemy who would not give up. But in that checkered and often dangerous pathway, he could pen this psalm, you see, and knowing he was a really poor man, his times were in God's hand. He hoped in God's mercy. He hoped he'd come safely through. And as he got another deliverance in the many deliverances he received in his life, he could truly say, "And the Lord delivered him." And therefore, you see, the Lord's people are humbled in the way they have to walk, the way they have to go. And therefore, that grace I hinted just now will make us transparently honest. We will realise before God what we are. But you see, dear friends, the Lord will bless his people. He will place their feet upon a rock and show them his covenant. And he will bring them into fruitfulness that they may declare his name, his mercy, his love, his grace to them upon the earth. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, I am God." And all that David penned in the great variety of psalms that he penned, he was a living witness that his God was the living God, the everlasting God, a faithful God. He knew the gospel. I know it was only in type and shadow, but he knew the ministerings of deliverance which New Testament believers know today. The Lord blessed him. The Lord delivered him. The Lord does the same to his dear people today, doesn't he? I realize in the worship was ceremonial, but in this he saw Christ. It was Job in an earlier century, you see, he knew his Redeemer lived because he'd seen him by faith, you see. The promise, so distilled in Job's soul, it meant something to him. And the gospel, which was yet to appear in its full glory, meant something to David, even as he offered sacrifice to God, as Abraham saw Christ die and was glad. So, dear friends, God measures the blessings. As he measures the blessings, so he measures our troubles as well. And so we are made to know how poor we are. Poor we are. What we need. So you see, dear friends, and I said this in gentleness, kindness and love. You see, we have here a divided congregation of people. Now, I am not the judge. I have no knowledge. I cannot see into any other man's soul. There are those of us who have made a profession. But you see, we can divide them this way. On one side are a needy, poor people who believe in the Lord. They believe in the Lord. And in believing the Lord, they believe something of the glorious truth of him, because they have begun to eat his flesh and drink his blood by faith. And some of them perhaps have not as yet been so favoured, but they know what they want. They know they need virtue. So they're pressing to touch the hem of his garment. They're calling upon the name of the Lord because they need God's mercy to do them good and reach their heart. And sadly, on the other side of the line, which is known only to God, are those that are not poor, really. Some may be religious, some may be quite irreligious. But there's no urgent cry again and again. Don't feel death in the soul and darkness and hardness of heart and prayerlessness, and don't seem to realise how wicked our human nature is and what we're capable of. Poor Dave was capable of many sins, wasn't he? He lied before Imelech and Achish. And my friends, how he fled in unbelief. They committed adultery and stole another man's wife and planned his death, you see. A murderer by nature. In pride he numbered the people. And every one of us knows in the kingdom of heaven something of the plague of our heart. And you can't deal with it. That's how poor we are. Can you deal with your sinnership? Do you know how to deal with your pride? Do you know how to deal with our unbelief when it grips us? Do you know how to deal with your worldly heart? Can you just say, oh no, I want nothing to do with that? Or do you find it so attractive to your soul, you see? Do you find that, dear friends, there's strength in sinnership? And the trouble is the law gives strength to sin, doesn't it? Because it reveals our nature to us. It's not just a question of a prohibition, thou shalt not, and nature complies with it. There's something in you that rises against the law because we want and we will. I've likened this, you've heard me say this before, I'm sure, like a... when we allowed you to dam up the streams in the valley below and have a successful word for perhaps just a few minutes. may just get it stopped, of course, it breaks through again and overflows or sweeps everything before it, you see. Sins like that. See, the law says thou shalt not. It's a prohibition, it's a wall. But we break through in your heart, if not in word and deed. So we need some help, don't we? Don't we need some help to believe at times? To really trust? Easier to speak of trusting and believing when we're walking in green pastures and silver slippers and taking our ease. We can talk plenty of religion then, can we not? But when we're in trouble, you see, soul trouble, this is where the Lord's people prove how poor they really are and where their help comes from and the faithfulness of God in his everlasting covenant. So David was a poor man. The apostle Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, wasn't a poor man. But he was very religious. And he obeyed the law as best as he could. And he felt a certain pleasure in himself at his obedience to the divine law. It gave him pleasure. But then, you see, he hated a thought that he needed saving. And he didn't need that one Jesus of Nazareth because he didn't need saving. But a day comes when, by divine visitation, do you know, and even those gentle called by grace as a divine visitation, a trial comes and it's sanctified. You begin to be in one. It may be very gentle in its beginnings. It'll seed sown in the heart, you see. Gradually distilling to have its effect by the mighty power of God. And some things, of course, there may be great calamities that God uses to quicken us into life. He's a sovereign, and what skill and what wisdom and what power is in his hand to quicken whom he will. And therefore, my friends, everyone will know that divine visitation. And when Saul of Tarsus received that visitor, who stayed with him forever, who called him by his grace, you see, the Lord never left him from that day, did he? And the Lord's never left you from that day either, friend, and you know that. But you've left him, and so have I, many times. But he calls our wandering spirits back because he loves his people, you see. And it's those gracious, perfect, lovely dealings, his many forgivenesses, oh, his returning to us and stirring us up in exercise when we have offended him and he's withdrawn his operation. Oh, how you live to prove his faithfulness. When you come into trouble and feel so poor, so wretched, so distant and so cold at times, but now you're in trouble, oh, you want the Lord to come and help you. Yes, and in faithfulness, he eventually hears your prayer. Sometimes more quickly, other times your beloved withholds himself. We should know our real poverty and make confessions and supplications for his mercy. And you live to prove that he cannot deny his name. There is a name, you know. Wherever God's people may get to, a name he'll never deny. And often in deep waters they call upon his name. I was thinking of Jonah this morning as I woke. He said this, they that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He preferred ease, and he went the wrong way. But oh, how the Lord took him in hand and heard his prayer. Jonah could come into this verse, couldn't he? And so could Jacob. And what a mercy if you can. Well, I must perhaps be a little bit more orderly in thought for the Lord helping me. Then we must speak of this poverty. Little more, the Lord help me. Oh, friends, sin-stricken sinners. Sin-stricken sinners. If you're a real child of God, your sins will trouble you again and again in your life. Your human nature troubles you. Our own personality, our disposition troubles us, doesn't it? Because tender conscience, made tender in the filial fear of God, solemnly feels the powers of evil within and the powers of evil without. We realise something of the depravity and depth of the fall. You mourn over being such a rebel at times and such a wanderer and so half-hearted at times, so prayerless at times, so careless at times, so entangled, so forgetful of the Lord's loving kindness and tender mercies. You think of when the Lord really blesses you, and I know there are those who have been much blessed in their souls here, and who have really worshipped and known and those days of espousals and walked in communion with him. But by and by, you see, dear friends, there's indeed a change. We learn doctrine this way, that no man can keep alive his own soul. It's not something to excuse us for our sins, but we live to prove it without the Lord maintaining that divine life in your soul and making us fruitful. You see, we decline. Also, he has to lead us more deeply into the truth than the early days of espousals. In the experience of our soul, we have to learn experimentally what a depth the dear Lord Jesus must have entered into to save such a sinner. Such a sinner. Not just sins of unregeneracy, but our base ingratitude, our wandering feet, our backslidings of heart, our actual backslidings. And sometimes bring a reproach upon his name where we feel it in our heart, if a mercy is hidden from others. The Lord knows our hasty words, the evil intent of how you may speak sometimes, you see. In these early days of his divine love, you may not realise the full extent of this. So we're led that we might enter a little more into his solemn suffering for us, his stoop. What our sins have really done. But love did it. Love did it, my friend. The love of your heavenly Father. To lay the sins of such a sinner. And one with a persistently sinful nature too. Because we shall be sinners to our dying day. Upon his dear Son. The Son of his own love. Whom in his soul delighted in. His own righteous servant. That he might have such a sinner with himself. So, our dear Redeemer, so sweated great drops of blood. Because you and I are so wicked. Got such wicked hearts. And he truly did business in deep waters. And poured out his soul unto death. Had to really cry from his own heart. Yes, my friends, and also, you see, there has to be a humbling, because proud nature doesn't really bend willingly, does it? But it happens over the years, doesn't it? We're humble to know, really, we are but lumps of clay, our breath is in our nostrils. All you are providentially and spiritually, all you are your natural abilities, in your possessions and your situation, if you're really being prepared for heaven, it's by the goodness of God, the goodness of God. His name is jealous, and he will not let any of his people take any glory to themselves. They're really humble to know as Saul of Tarsus was humble to know. And the last and least of all saints is this grace given. This grace, last and least of all saints, and of whom I am chief of sinners. Amazing grace. You may think I'm driving a hard line. To my mind, it's a most blessed gospel. There's room for the foulest, the stinking, the weakest, the most afraid, the most tempted. Oh, my friends, there's room in his kingdom. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, my friends, the apostle indeed knew how poor he really was. Oh, my friends, we were born in sin and shape in iniquity. We brought nothing into the world, we shall take nothing. All that we can achieve here, we leave it behind. You won't go into heaven with a lot of nice titles by men and being able to lift up your head in heaven and say, yes, but I achieved this and I possess that. Oh, far from it, far from it. No, you'll stand and view and wonder at the riches of that grace, and he, your loving bridegroom and your glorious King of Kings. See, we're humbled over the years, so we're pruned and we're made to know our true state. But loved with an everlasting love, and this, you see, will bring us to desire his glory. Desire his glory. Jeremiah, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not good. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase, and so on. Did you have kind thoughts towards Christ in your spiritual youth? But why the lukewarmness? God, be merciful to me, a sinner, is the cry, I believe, that comes again and again out of a pilgrim's heart. You see, we're made to realise how poor we are as sinners. But you see, there is a divine life given which will bring us to genuinely weep as we cry to the Lord in our prayers. The word upon my mind, which was yesterday, followed me, and Lord granted meditation and various thoughts about it, you know, was the case of the woman that came in from the city and wept at the feet of the Lord Jesus. So I'll try and bring it in here, and now the Lord helping me. Why did she really weep? And why did the Lord forgive her sins? Was there any merit in her weeping? No, no merit at all. But she saw merit in Christ. And also she knew what she was. So she there again had that same divine teaching. Now, of course, the meaning of the woman of the city mentions a common unclean woman practicing unclean things. And well known, it would appear, because Simon the Pharisee knew who she was. He didn't need an introduction. He was well known for her wickedness. But grace reached her heart, you know. Wonderful. Grace reached her heart. She heard of Jesus by faith, like the other godly that came after Christ by faith. Are you going after the Lord Jesus by faith? As a poor, needy, guilty worm of the earth? Why art thou afraid to come? You may be tempted not to. Why art thou afraid to come? Why afraid to tell thy case? He will not pronounce thy doom. Smiles are seated on his face. But why did she have the strength or the boldness to come? And I think if my mind goes on in my own thoughts, and may read in Hebrews tonight, whereby we read, let us therefore come with boldness, margin, liberty. Let us draw near with boldness, margin, liberty. She perceived a wonderful truth, a blessed, faithful God had given his dear son the Messiah. So she must have begun to believe in the everlasting covenant. Now, we don't know the details of experience. It would have seemed to happen all very quickly from the narrative. And God can teach a man in a moment. May he teach many here sweet and blessed divine things. Show them his love, his covenant. So she was not afraid to come to the Son of God and weep at his feet and wash his feet with her tears and wipe his feet with the hairs of her head. And she stood behind him, we read. She felt her low, poverty-stricken place, but she believed in the Lord. And that's what brought her to his feet, you see. And Holy Ghost religion will enable you to believe in the Lord and bring you to his feet. And don't you long to abide there. And you have to come to his feet in the exercise of your soul again and again. Now, in one sense, all the saints are at his feet because they're in his arms as well, you see. They're in his heart also. But in their exercises, they're always brought to his feet. He is God. They're poor, needy, unworthy sinners. So she genuinely grieved over a sin that caused her to weep. She was genuinely grieved over a sin. And if you suffer from indwelling sin, and Solomon said, there's no man that sinneth not. And didn't he prove that himself, poor man? In old age, he brought in idols. Solemn, isn't it? We don't grow better as we get older, you know. I used to think that when I was a child. I know it different now. We want much keeping, much saving in our days, don't we? Solomon went into idolatry in the latter end of his life, not his early days. We realise he was in the covenant, he was restored. Friends, that's very solemn, isn't it? Asa sought physicians in his old age instead of seeking God for the diseases in his feet. He was a good king. The Lord preserve us. So there's no man that sinneth not, says Solomon. Every man shall know the plague of his own heart. You see, dear friends, that woman knew a true state. She was a lost sinner. But she knew who Christ was. Now that made her weep, you see. In my own thoughts, meditations, there were two things that seemed to me that outstanding that made her weep. Her own wretched, sinful, woeful condition. Her wretched heart, a wretched being. But God gave his dear son, you see. So she came weeping, tears of contrition. And tears in gospel hope. She must have had some hope to come to God. Because God, out of Christ, is terrifying. And therefore she believed that here was the Messiah, the Christ, Emmanuel. So she ventured and wept. And have you noticed that experience of your own soul? When we consider our base ingratitude. Yes, those poor returns, one of our poets says, if I can just find it now. When we think of love like this, joy and shame our hearts possess. Joy that thou couldst pity thus, shame for such returns from us. This poor man cried. Well, I've dwelt a long time on the aspect of the poverty of our sinnership. But I feel it has to take precedent over other thoughts first, because I should be a sinner to my dying day. And so will you. But may we look to Jesus alone, a much keeping grace, preserving mercy, fresh supplies to be kept right to the very end. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. This poor man cried. And therefore we're made to know how empty we are with regard to virtues and strength and graces and wisdom and skill and understanding. Now, may we ever use what ability God has given us to its full and to his glory. But sadly, we don't always. But I'm now thinking of that takes us to heaven. Not thinking of the natural skills that we have. I'm thinking of the graces that are with the Lord Jesus, you see. The graces that are with the Lord Jesus. Now, sanctifying grace will bring us, indeed, to lift the glory of Christ in the ability he's given us here below in our natural ways. And we vary in this, of course. But aren't we made to know and realise, dear friends, that we need much abundance of life to keep us exercised and to keep us alive? We read in John, I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. Do you feel your need of a greater abundance of life as you journey on? The apostle groaned, he was carnal, sold under sin. The good he would, he did not. The evil he would not, that he did. And he had to come to a solemn conclusion. He was a wretched man. And he groaned after precious Jesus to deliver him, to deliver this body of death. But I am carnal, sold under sin. The poet says, my best is stained and die with sin. My all is nothing worth. Many years ago, reading a sermon, J.K. Poppins at home, privately, he kept repeating that hymn, or that couplet. And I will admit that in those days I didn't really understand it in its full sense. But I believe I do now. My best is stained and died with sin. All is nothing worth. Yes, but you won't get heaven on your best, will you? Your best is in heaven. Your advocate with the Father. Your heavenly friend. The Lord our righteousness. Your Lamb. Every grace you need is in him. Every skill is with him. And he delights in mercy to those who call upon him. And those virtues flow, you see. Speak to the rock. The Lord was told Moses, and of course that poor man sinned too. Wasn't he a poor man? He disobeyed. We may make the excuse that, they provoked his spirit. But it was one act of disobedience preventing the going to the promised land. That's the earthly Canaan. One act of disobedience. Yes, but how the Lord showed him the land, which was type and shadow of that blessed place he was about to go into. The heavenly Canaan. Blessed be God. Why? The waters flow from the smitten rock. And Christ is that smitten rock. See, the first time he was told to smite the rock, the waters flowed. The second time, to speak to the rock. And you know, the altar is full of type and shadow. And Christ is that eternal rock. Do you really believe? I want to read it in Hebrews tonight, the Lord help. Do you really believe he was smitten once, friend? Then speak to that rock. Keep calling upon that name for every virtue, every grace, every help you need. Why, he's so full of grace. He's so full of everlasting power according to his Godhead. He is love, for God is love. A God that cannot lie. He's faithful that promised. Oh, sinner, for you to get safely through your days, and safely home to God, and such a poor sinner too, such a wretched sinner too, you will prove he can do everything. Oh, he can save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by him, seeing ever live to make intercession for them. Therefore, may we call upon his name while we live. Don't we need the grace to get to heaven? This poor man cried, but he cried because he had faith. If you've got faith, yes, which is the gift of God, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, that's instrumentality, through faith, which is the gift of God, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. For are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, my dear friends, a God-given faith begins to believe the report, the blessed report. There may be some sitting here feeling so wretched, you see. Now, why is it the Lord doesn't immediately reveal himself when he begins a work of grace? Now, in some cases he does, like the Apostle Paul. But he, in his blessed way, he makes the people feel their need. And they're drawn to him upon the mercy seat, you see. Therefore, they come with those petitions in their need. And God has illustrated in the New Testament, they came with their ailments and their afflictions and their troubles, their family trials, their woes. And they proved his healing power. And Jesus said to the blind men, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" They said, "Yea, Lord, according to your faith, be it unto you." And in your troubles, soul troubles and providential troubles, do you feel your need of more precious faith? If it's like this, you go back to earlier days and you may look back and how the Lord gave you faith to plead for his mercy, plead for his help. You had to pour out your heart and you had to say in your heart, "Lord, I know if it be in a country of thy will, that able to help me, able to hear through." And you had to plead for his name's sake. And you proved his goodness. You journey on, strengthened with might in the man, with a thankful heart, but you come to fresh trials. Fresh trials. They seem just as dangerous. Well, it has another dimension to it, which you've not experienced before. Oh, you wonder if you're going to come safely through. Lord, increase my faith. You see, we're poor men. An illustration from the Old Testament, of course, is the bread of God, which came down from heaven. The manna, small and round and white. It looked like coriander seed, but small and white. And it tasted like wafers made with honey, so very sweet, very plain, but very sweet. And what nourishment for a wilderness journey for 40 years. And the sweet, sacred, simple, glorious truths of one lifted up to the right hand of God. Oh, what nourishment. What help, what mercy there. What deliverance there, what an everlasting strength there. But they had to go out day by day and gather it, you see. That shows us that we do need our poor vessels to be filled and refilled. Because we're leaky vessels, you see. We lose so much. You may be favoured in prayer. But how, you know, I'm sure you who know God, you know spiritual declines, don't you? But you know spiritual revivings, do you not? Because he's faithful that promised. So you see, we're poor men, we need the Lord to increase our faith again and again. And won't I need my faith really increased when the appointed hour arrives? We don't know the means, If we have intelligence given to us now, you know, this is incurable. This is incurable. Won't you need an increase of faith in that day? He's faithful. He's faithful, friend, that promised. You go to God that cannot lie, and faith believes it. So you wrestle on to the break of day. This poor man cried. Well, I've not really got very far into it, and I have to haste on later this evening, but oh, how we need a mighty hand to fight for us, don't we? Oh, we need one to manage our life and our affairs and to plan our life. We need one, my dear friends, to order our way safely. We need to know that his thoughts are toward us in love, peace and mercy, and not against us. It's a great exercise, isn't it? For time is very short. Well, we are poor men. And now a poor man has to realise he's preached a poor sermon, and I need much grace to be humble and quiet and to live from the enemy's power. And that's how you feel sometimes in your profession and in your prayers, how poor we really are. But dear friends, you have a rich friend, a heavenly friend, a benevolent friend, who is so skillful to humble us in the dust, and to do us good in our soul, and to bless us with everlasting peace and pardon, and to lay sweet life in your soul. So live, as you live here, you hope in God, and you live in hope that you'll see him. The Lord make us those poor men. Let us ask thee, Lord's blessing upon the word. Lord, bless thy own word. And that which has been true and by the sweet spirit of truth. And may something do us each good to realise who we are and where we are and who thou art, thou blessed one. Please pardon all spoken wrongly. Oh, follow with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £655, and for the Trinitarian Bible Society on Tuesday evening, £1,010, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1035. Return, my wandering heart, to thy dear resting place. Nothing in nature nor in art so fair as Jesus' face. Hymn 1035.
Of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.